Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, everybody. I am super excited. I've got an incredible guest today. His name is Steve Woody, and he is a website expert. And I wanted to share him with you guys so you can get a handful of great tips about how to make your websites a lot better. Hey, Steve, man, how you doing?
Hey, Brian, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm really looking forward to this podcast because I know you've got some great sizzling knowledge bombs to drop on my peeps. So let me start.
I'm not going to lie to you. Just the thought of this podcast and the name of it is already making me hungry.
There you go. Well, that's the whole point. And it's lunchtime here and you're in England, so it's dinner time there. So you have a right to be hungry. It's all good, man. So what I like to do is let people know who you are, kind of give a little bit of backstory. So how did you go from being in the army to homeless to a website expert? I want to hear the story.
I mean, I'm going to give you like a snapshot in 2 minutes because I don't want to bore your listeners. But I was in the army. I went in the army from when I left school. I did 6 years in communications, left the army, trundled through life, struggled. You know, life hits quite hard sometimes. And I was used to being institutionalized. So when I came out, didn't really know what I was going to do. Ended up homeless 3 or 4 times. Lived in a car for 6 months. Went bankrupt in 2006. So like, I had this whole journey that's sort of spiraling downhill. And I went to a personal development event. I got invited to, I met Tony Robbins and got involved in that whole circle.
Cool.
Then I sort of went to a lot of business events and started to build up what it was I was going to do. And then back in 2011, I kind of just completely fully immersed myself in websites and said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to learn. I'm going to become the best person that I know at it. And so I did that. But then the challenge was there are countries out there where, as we all know, we can outsource cheaper cost of living. And I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, fighting a lot of people for really crap, poor quality work. So I sort of thought, right, what can I do different? Or how can I do this different? So I kind of started focusing more on strategy. And that's really what's led me to where I am today, writing the book, having the course, doing what I do. It's really looking at, people come to me all the time and say, I need a website. And the first thing I say is, why? Why do you need a website? Because a lot of the time, people don't need a website. People just need clarity. They need direction. They need, you know, a better understanding of their target audience. And they get sort of blindsided with the thought that they need a website. And a lot of the time, that's not the case. So I'm really on a mission now just to educate people as to get them what they really need, not what they think they want.
Cool, man. So in your book, you have top 10, I would call them strategies, tips, mistakes, whatever it is. Can you give us like maybe the top 3 things that you have in there in a short period of time? Because I mean, I would love to talk to you for hours, but this is like a 10-15 minute podcast. So let's get 3 major things that people are making mistakes on.
Okay. Well, I mean, the 10 things in the book are the 10 chapters of the book. And the first chapter is strategy. You need your strategy. You need to know who your target audience is, who you're talking to, what you're saying to them. You need to be crystal clear on what your products, services, price points, everything is. Because if you don't, all you're going to do is you're going to throw a website together and it's going to have a really confusing message that's going to overwhelm or maybe even underwhelm your target audience. And something that's worse than having no clients is having the wrong client. So you've got to really sort of look at who it is you're working towards. And the 3 things I'll give you, there are three things I see. I've reviewed hundreds and thousands of websites, and I see the same 3 things over and over again. Not having a clear headline. People being left to fend for themselves when they land on a web page. You know, you need to give your visitor a clear headline. This is what I do, and this is what I can do for you. Second thing you need, mistake number 2, is people don't have a clear call to action. A button, click here to do this, click here to learn more, do this, you know, do that. Make it so it stands out, so it draws the eye, and take people on a journey. Every page on your website should do 1 thing, and you should be taking people on a journey. You should always be asking the question, what's next? And so people don't do that, and that's the second biggest mistake. And the third, it's kind of split into 2 points, it's analytics. The majority of people that I know don't track their analytics, and the ones that do have never even looked at the statistics. So they're tracking their data, but they don't know what any of it means. And what I can say is that there are hundreds of thousands of people out there that are waiting to give you their opinion, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. What I would prefer that you do is you take statistics, you take fact, and you split test it to give yourself a known answer. So you can say, I know this works, and it's not just someone's opinion, but I've factually proven it, and I can measurably see the results. They're the three things I would say. If you take anything away from this, those three things.
Awesome, dude. So you mentioned split testing or A-B testing. Give some examples of what you're testing, because I think that's where people get confused is, what am I testing? What do I need to put out there and see what's working, and how do I do that? How do I measure it?
Absolutely. Right. Very good question. Before you start a test, because it's so easy to say, oh, I'm going to change the color of a button, or I'm going to change... really irrelevant. I mean, they're so small, and Russell Brunson talks about it a lot. He's done a few books that talk about these things, and yeah, they're good, but they're really superficial in terms of when you're going to do a split test. The first thing you need to know when you do a split test is, what is your outcome? What do you want to achieve? If you've got people that are coming to an opt-in page, an opt-in where they're going to opt in to hear more about what you've got to offer, so you're going to take their details, their name, their email address, and in return you're going to give them something. What you may want to do is you may want to test different offers so that you can see, do more people sign up on offer one or offer two? You know, does this headline work better on offer one or offer two? Does, you know, having this picture or that picture? And so you take two really clear, distinctive things that you can change, and then you measure the result to see which one performs better. And you should only ever be testing one thing at a time. Because if I change the button, the image, and the headline, then I have too many variables, and I don't know which one's working. So you really need to do one test, let it sit, run some people through the campaign, split the traffic 50% one way, 50% the other way, measure it over 100 people, 200, 500, 1,000 people, and then see which one performs better. And then you know it's not opinion anymore, it's fact.
Awesome. So... let's talk a little bit about website development, and we all know that there's multiple levels of doing these things. You've got, the first one is your neighbor's kid's dog, who dabbles in the stuff. The other one is you can go to Wix or Website Tonight or GoDaddy or something and do it yourself, or Squarespace and things of that nature. And then you can go to India and have it done for $10 an hour, or you could hire somebody who really understands more of the inner workings of the reason behind it and all this other stuff. So let's explain why somebody would want to do something on the higher end versus taking those cheap options.
Great question. And it's a shame we haven't got long enough to really explore this in detail. But What I would say is, the first thing, and this is where you have to be a bit brutal and you have to be a bit honest with yourself. What have you got? Have you got a hobby, or have you got a business? Because a lot of people think they've got a business, but they've really got a hobby. And if you're building a website on Wix, Squarespace, Weebly, or any of those things, you don't have a business, you have a hobby. And you need someone to be brutally honest with you, because you're just kidding yourself if you think you can run a successful and scalable business on a third-party shared platform like that. It's just not possible. You may get some moderate success, but you're never going to get real success. And so if you want to be global, if you want to be scalable, if you want to get your business out there, now, and I'm not saying these things are wrong, because look, all of these platforms, they have a place in the market. So they all work for certain people. But if you want a business that's going to be scalable, that's going to get you results, then you need to look at how you're going to build it. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You look at WordPress, for example, you know, controls 30% of the internet, you know, about 60 to 80 million websites running on this platform. It works. But because it's a free platform, people assume that because the platform's free, then the website should be free and your time should be free. And so people have got into this culture, and we're in this age now where people just expect things but don't want to pay for it. And what it does is it dilutes the quality from expert to glorified button pusher. And I'm sick of people that are called WordPress developers. There's no such thing as a WordPress developer. It does not exist. You're either a developer and you know code, or you're not. It's as simple as that. If you're a WordPress developer, it just means you can press some buttons. You know, my VA is a WordPress developer in that sense. So I'd really start to question, what it is that you want, what it is that you've got, and then what it is that you want to do. Because if you really want to be successful, you need to control your website. You need the ability that you can take it and move it if you need to, put it onto a platform that you think is secure and safe, and if need be, pick it up and move it. If you have a website that's built on one of these third-party platforms, and that third-party platform goes down, which it will one day because they're not around forever, they keep popping up, then you have to rebuild your entire website, and who really wants to do that? I mean, I know you should every few years, but if you're really sort of building out these systems and you're integrating a lot of systems to make your business scalable, you don't want to keep rebuilding that core foundation. So you want to get something that works. So I would urge people to really look at why you're doing what you're doing. And here's the other thing. If you go to, I don't want to sort of criticize anyone, but India, the Philippines, and any of these sort of Eastern civilizations that build websites, they've got like India, great example. They've got a pleasing culture. They want to please you. They're going to tell you they can help you if they can or if they can't. And so while you think they're away working on your website, they don't have a clue what they're doing. They'll put something together. It's not going to be what you want because you don't know what you want. You're going to blame them because they haven't done what you wanted to do. But really, fact is, you're the one that has a website that doesn't do what you want it to do. And it all comes down to you not asking the right questions at the start. So you need to first take responsibility for wherever you are at the moment, whatever you have, and then look at, not from a victim mentality, but more of a empowering mentality of, okay, how can I change this? How can I make it better? How can I get it to do what I need it to do? And so that's really where I'm trying to put some governance at the moment around web design, because there's, I mean, the only way you know if someone's a good website developer is if you're a website developer. You know, what you may need to do is hire two website developers and get one to test the other one's code. Because if you go to some of these places that you get someone at like $5, $10 an hour, you go on Fiverr.com or, you know, you pick some at the bottom of the barrel, yeah, your website may look good, but as soon as you start pushing traffic to it, as soon as you start trying to integrate it with other things, as soon as you start looking at the code behind the website, it all just falls apart. And people don't normally notice that until the developer's done one. And so it's really important to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how that's going to affect you in 2, 3, 6, 12 months' time.
Great points, man. Well, see, and here's the thing, and this is just a side note, because you talk about the perfect avatar, the perfect customer. You know, my philosophy is that you have to educate people to which questions to ask. I mean, that's really Absolutely. What it boils down to, because they don't know what they don't know. And that's...
That is... Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is absolute key to what I say to people. If you go to a WordPress developer, they will tell you to use WordPress. If Right. you go to a Joomla developer, they'll tell you to use Joomla. You go to someone who uses Bootstrap, they'll say use Bootstrap, because Mm-hmm. they want your business, and Right. that's what they use.
Right.
What I would say is, rather than asking them what they think, have a look at what you need and get someone who's impartial. Get somebody who's going to give you the best advice for your business,
right.
not for someone else's business,
mm-hmm.
and then find the right person to bring in to help you.
Awesome, brother. Good stuff. So you've got a system or something that you want to tell the audience about that's going to help them get their arms around this stuff. Can you tell us about that?
Totally. I mean, the first thing that I would say before we do anything else is just take a step back and look at your plan. And that's why I wrote the book, Plan Your Website. I'll give you a link if that's all right, and you know I'm more than happy to give a gift to the listeners. So if you want to give them a link, and we can hook them up with that. So look, I'm not here to try and sell anything. I don't work like that. It's not how I work. If I can just educate one person who's listening to just take a step back, look at the systems, look at what they're doing, look at why they're doing it, and it can stop them making a mistake, so they don't come to me and say, oh, this went wrong, or oh, that went wrong, or I had this nightmare experience. The only reason I know what to do is because there's a saying from a book. It's a fantastic book. It's called Think and Grow Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And the author, Napoleon Hill, he said this quote once. I heard it. He said, I know I'm going to be successful because I'm running out of things to do wrong. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, fuck, that's amazing. That's me. The only reason I can stand here and talk to you now is because I have messed up more than anybody else I know. I've made so many mistakes, and what's happened is in making all these mistakes, I learn quicker. And so I make these mistakes, but I overcome them quicker. And being successful is not about avoiding mistakes. It's just making them quickly, minimizing your losses and maximizing your gains. And that's what I do. I know what doesn't work. And so I just want to educate people what not to do.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure that link is in the show notes so people can check it out at baconpodcast.com and get that. So if people want to get a hold of you, Steve, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way I would say, if you want to get hold of me, is just go through my website. My company's called Online Mastery. If you go online, you can find me. I'm always on Facebook. I'm on social media. I've automated most of my business so that I can be hands-on. You know, I love more than anything interacting with people. And so I want to be able to interact with people. I want to be able to communicate with people. So Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever it may be, whatever platform you decide to use, I'm pretty much on everything. Just Steve Woody, Online Mastery, put one of the two in, you'll find me.
Absolutely. Man, hey, thank you so much. You really dropped some great knowledge bombs. I love your passion. I love your insight. I know my audience is going to absolutely love this podcast, man. So thanks so much for joining us.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me, Brian. And anything I can do, please just holler.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.